never have to pray for things. We're supposed to pursue kingdom.
And those things follow.
Right. And they're just in the way. Like, oh, I was just trying to pray today. Right. And boom, somebody dropped me an opportunity. A door just opened. And so faith for the right things, faith for scriptural things, faith for the will of God is where grace is applied. Some people will try to take faith and use it for their own. The Bible says where self-seeking is every evil practice. And if you really dig into Satanism, their mantra is do what thou wilt. So in other words, do you, boo? Isn't that a cute thing that we like to say in 2023? Do you? That's not scripture. According to scripture, we do God.
Okay, welcome to another episode of The Big Bang, brought to you by Kingdom Culture Agency, and I'm your host, Poet Presley. Make sure you all check out Got Success. They're one of our biggest sponsors, so make sure you go to gotsuccessstore.com. Today, I'm super excited. I know I'm always super excited, right? But today, I have a powerful guest. On today's episode, we're going to talk about how you can grace your way into success, but more specifically, transformative grace, right? And I have the beautiful, magnificent, phenomenal, virtuous woman of God, Dr. Sarah Grace, on today's episode, and she's known as the ambassador of grace, right? She's a TV host. She's had her TV series on Comcast and UVerse. She's an author. She's also a life and mental health coach. She's ordained as an elder and a pastor. She has so many titles, but the most specific title I want you to focus on is Woman of God, okay? Focus on that. Everything flows from there. Her first 20 years of life, Dr. Grace struggled with her health, her identity, and her sense of self-worth. At the age of 20, life took a toll on her, and that's when she actually surrendered her life to God. She has an honorary doctorate in Christian Humane Letters. Did I say that correct?
Yeah.
Right? She has an honorary doctorate. Her testimony and preaching and teaching has been extended beyond the church paradigm. She's done a lot of work via mainstream or even what you would call secular. So she's not even your average woman of God. She's not just trying to sit and be religious and have a certain image. She's keeping it real. You can expect real and raw content today. She's done a lot, from going into prisons, rehab centers. She's what I would consider like boots on ground. She's connecting with the people, and she's touching them with, you know, her godly presence. And I told her before we started, I couldn't even give you the most perfect intro, but what's up? How you doing? How you feeling?
Wow. Listening to that makes me feel great. To God be the glory.
Yeah.
Hearing people introduce me is still a trip to me, because it's only because of his grace.
Yeah. Matter of fact, before we even start, tell us about those early years and when you first discovered what grace was.
Wow. The early years were rough. And when I say early, I mean early. Some of my earliest memories, they're traumatic. You know, I have some good ones too. Great mother, loved her so much. Single mom, raised me, and she did her best to kind of carry us through the traumatic moments with joy. She's a singer, so I remember her pulling a guitar out in between my hospital visits and in between all the things I was going through. I could have died multiple times as a child from chronic illness. So I get through that, and then I go into a phase where I end up being violated for the first time. So coming out of sickness, I go into violation.
Be specific. What do you mean by
sexual
that?
Sexual violation, being molested multiple times, multiple people, multiple scenarios. So then I became sexualized as a young child, and that can mess with your sense of value. 6 years old was the first time. Yeah. And so that can, you know, really mess with your sense of value, your feelings about yourself, your shame. It can stamp you with an identity that all you are is a sexual object. And then in the culture we're in today, you turn on the television and you get that just reiterated over and over again. So carry on, 12 years old. I'm in school just trying to be cool like everybody else. I want to be in with the in crowd. So we start going to parties. We're experimenting with drugs by 12 years old. I'm sexually active. I am regularly smoking, drinking, and sexing from 12 years old. So that spiral from 12 to 18, I lived what a lot of people live out from their 20s. You know, going to college, I lived my college days in my preteens and my teens.
You were lit.
Yeah, really. Like, I don't know, except by the grace of God that I wasn't aware of, that I lived. I would drink to the point of blackout at 12 and 13 years old. Matter of fact, I'm still tiny. I'm 5'2". But can you imagine me at 4'9", throwing back a 40 in like 5 minutes or less?
No.
People would buy me 40s just to be like, look at Shorty. You know, I'm from Baltimore, so they call us Shorty up there. Look at Shorty, you know, taking this to the head. And that was my life for many, many years. Now, I was focused in some degree, though, because I would work. Mm-hmm. I like to have my own money. So I worked. I had favor. Mm-hmm. Even before I knew God, I had favor. I had grace on my life.
Because he knew you before you was what?
Look,
come
before
on.
I was in my mother's womb, he did. And when I look back, there's no way. Now, first of all, they didn't call me Sarah Grace back then.
What they call
So
you?
Let's just throw that out there. They didn't call me Sarah Grace. I had Boo. That was because I was light skinned. You know, Boo. It was one of my nicknames because literally like, oh, whoa, look at that. China doll, because I had some tattoos that have been covered since. There were Asian symbols and all these little nicknames. I didn't want to be known as Sarah Grace. That was too country. That was too normal. I didn't want that.
Right.
So they knew me as that, they being just the people I hung with in the street. So that's how I was tagging myself. So anyway, fast forward, I go through years of being this other person, becoming this party girl, becoming this person that liked the attention. I like to give people's attention. Now, that was before social media, so there's no evidence, and we thank God for that. But I lived a very self-destructive lifestyle, and it spiraled. What I thought was fun and cool turned into some pretty dangerous stuff. A lot of the people that I was social with back then are now in prison for murder, drugs, and things of that nature. So while I was pregnant with my first child, I got down on my knees in my apartment in Baltimore, Maryland, and I said, God, if you're real, I was afraid for my life. I was literally like listening to my door before I would open it. Somebody in there, somebody that's not happy. I left the crew. I got away from the fam. And I was paranoid. I was filled with fear. And having this child, I knew if something dramatic didn't happen, not only myself, but my child and I, our lives were literally on the line, having a murder threat on both of us. I'll kill her and their baby. So here I am, 20 years old, on my floor with my pregnant belly in hand. I say, God, if you're real. And I spoke to him in my vernacular. If you're for real, like if you are really real.
Right.
I didn't know the Bible. Didn't know Genesis from Revelation. Didn't even know if the Christian God, Jesus, was God at all. I had dated Muslims, New Agers, witches. So I'm like, I had no predisposition who God was. If he would have said, I am a tree, then I would have been the tree worshiper.
Right.
But I opened myself. And this is the main thing about grace. I didn't say, God, show me who you are so I'll know.
Right.
I said, show me who you are and I'll serve you. I give my life to you, not even knowing what I was really saying. And it took a year. It wasn't overnight. No angel came in my room and said, woo, Jesus is Lord. But I started feeling different. My heart started changing and I started listening to the Christ-focused message. I don't like to say Christian as much because there's a lot of crazy stuff attached to that title. But Christ-focused messages started taking root in my heart. And a year later, I surrendered myself to Jesus. And I asked to be filled with his spirit. I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't know anything about charismatic church or spirit filled this or that, lifting your hands. I don't even know what I was doing. I thought, is something wrong with me? I'm lifting my hands saying, fill me with your spirit. And that was almost 24 years ago. And I have been lit for Jesus.
For Jesus. Ever.
That's when grace came into my life.
Yeah.
When I said, I surrender.
So surrender.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, by surrendering, I'm yours, that activate the grace.
Yeah. Information doesn't change lives. Revelation does.
Come on. I've been...
When it travels from your head to your heart, I had to know. At first, I knew nothing. Then I came into the knowledge of the truth. But there was a time where I didn't hear an audible voice, Sarah, but in my heart, there was this like loud kind of thought is the best way I can describe it, which I know was the voice of God now. And he said, you haven't chosen a side. And it was at that moment that I said, well, I surrender. Like, I don't know what side to choose. What does that mean? You can just have it all. Right. And that's when I went from confessing all these Christian prayers, they call it the sinner's prayer, and the religious prayer you hear at the altar call at most churches.
Right.
But when I said I surrender, that was the entry point of God's Spirit. And God's Spirit is the carrier of grace.
Oh, my goodness.
And then grace is the carrier and the activator of transformation. So I'll throw the mic back because I could go somewhere with that. So,
man, look, I'm definitely going to have that Big Bang button season 2 because I needed that. I needed that, man. So let's say we got somebody watching for the first time, or, you know, our viewers are tuning in. I mean, what is grace? What is grace?
Well, first of all, let me tell you what it's not, because it's misunderstood a lot.
Okay.
People confuse grace with mercy. They'll say, God gave me grace.
That's different.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I didn't go to prison for killing that person. Mm. God gave me grace. No, baby, that was mercy.
That was mercy.
God gave me grace because I cheated on my wife and she didn't leave me. That was mercy. So mercy is when God doesn't give you what you do deserve. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, I can't speak for anybody but me, but what I deserve, according to scripture, is death, hell, and a grave. That's what I deserve. So he gave me mercy to not allow me to go to death, hell, and a grave. But grace.
Come on.
I get that preacher in me, I want to get up and run.
Yeah.
Grace is when God gives you what you don't deserve. Mm. Grace is not only favor.
It's not a pass
so you can just do what you want to do. It's power. And when you really dig into the original language behind grace, we won't get too deep today.
No, but
if you want to go into the Hebrew, come on, let's go.
This is the Big Bang.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, where's the button? So when you dig into the original language, and not only just what it says, but you dig into the scholarship and those that have studied it, that understand the Hebrew letters and numbers and the codes and all these things, we find out that grace has always meant both favor and power.
Right.
So even when the scripture says it's by grace you've been saved, people hear it like this: it's by mercy I've been saved. They misunderstand. They think it's God forgave me, so I'm saved. So that changes the whole entire understanding. But when you really understand that grace is not only favor but power, it's that transformational, regenerational, supernatural power of God that gets on the inside of you and begins to, it's a preacher coming out
Come
of me today.
On, turn me
gets
up.
Gets on the inside of you and begins to work its way out. That's when you know you've had a touch from God. And I'll just say this before I pass the mic back. People like to say they've experienced grace. But if you have experienced grace, you shouldn't just tell me. You should show me. Your life should look different. I'll say this one more thing, and then I'm passing the mic. One of my closest friends I knew from my earlier years. She knew Boo. She knew China Doll. She kicked it with me in Nashville and Baltimore. When I reconciled or reconnected with her years after I got born again, which is, in other words, activated by grace, she said, Boo, still calls me Boo to this day, Boo, I'll follow you off a bridge because I've never seen transformation like this. But she's a pastor's daughter.
Ooh.
Grew up in church. So her childhood friend that was throwing back Mad Dog 2020 booms for, you know, we didn't have no money back then. So we're teenagers. And she saw my heart. And it wasn't even just my outward appearance. There's a countenance that's different. But she saw my decision. She saw my decision making.
Yes.
She saw my love. And she said, I know only God could have done that. God doesn't just save you from hell. He saves you for purpose and to be transformed by his grace.
Oh, my goodness. The blood of Jesus shall prevail. I feel his presence. And thank you so much. And what's so powerful, you know, we're tapping into how I grace my way into success for business, right?
Right.
So I've had favor and there's been power.
Yeah.
Power, right? And it's nothing I could have done to do it. So that's just so amazing. And it's such a privilege to have you here. I'm so blessed to have you here, man. I'm so thankful. What I want to tap into a little bit is how could someone grace their way into success, like in business? So how can we apply that favor or receive that favor and power from a business point of view?
Right. I feel the glory of God. Listen, one thing the church has failed at is really understanding that grace is not just for the four walls of your local chapel. Mm. That grace is also for the world at large. He sends us out. God sends us out to all the areas of society to represent him, to represent him, right? Yeah. So me personally, not only can I tell you what I've seen in the lives of others, but I've experienced the grace for business. I was telling someone the other day, I said, you know what? I couldn't find the kind of job that I wanted for the lifestyle that I had created with my family. So I just made one. I made the job that I wanted. And I started making multiple jobs that I wanted. You know what? We're going to do a little digital design. You know, we're going to do coaching. We're going to speak. And so what I saw was that a person who now, by the grace of God, I have one honorary doctorate. I've been nominated for another one that I'm pending receiving on graduation. I'm also pursuing my education in psychology. I have stacks of certifications in different areas. But my highest level of completed education was a GED when I started my business.
Right.
So I went to God and I said, God, just like you activated my heart, activate my hands. And what I learned was grace not only empowers you, but it activates your truest identity. Our Father is a creative.
Right.
You know, we have this new movement now where like creatives this and creatives that. Our Father is a creative. So his creativity that created the mountains and the waterfalls and all the beautiful things we see, it's inside of me. So when you really tap into grace, God can activate his creativity inside of you. And a woman that didn't even know how to type, had a big old box computer, remember those?
Yeah.
Before we had these cute little flat ones.
Right.
I said, your word says the Holy Spirit can teach me all things. So I literally gave my hands to God and said, would you teach me how to serve my local church that needed a graphic designer? So God anointed my hands to serve. And I served for years. And then when I went through a very troubling time, being divorced and becoming a single mother of seven children I had as a result of my marriage, I said, God, how do you want me to take care of these children? He said, look at the gifts I've given you in your hands. So he anointed me, or in other words, empowered me, gave me the ability to create a business with his creativity from nothing. I started on social media with a yes. So God gave me grace, power and favor to do what I was not even trained to do. And all those years ago today, I'm here today on a Friday because I work for myself. I go where I want to go, I do, or where God wants me to go.
I feel that 100.
And it was all by grace. Again, tapping into his ability. If I can even make it more specific, the Bible says that his grace is sufficient and his power is made perfect in our weakness. So if you want to grace your way in business, you got to get out of the way. The you part of you. Scholars will call it your soul.
Wow.
Like the get yourself out of the way and say, God, I surrender. Here we go again. I surrender my hands to you. Yeah. Activate your power in me to create. And I've noticed when I got in my feelings and I got in myself and in my intellect with my business, it would get stagnated. And I would have to go back and go, oh, I need more grace. And then boom, creativity is coming to the surface again.
Man, when I tell you, like I said it, that I've graced my way to success, I literally be like, all right, God, look, your word says this.
Right.
It told me I'm the head, I'm not the tail. So look, this what we doing. I got to take care of this. What we doing, God? And literally expecting something to come forth, right? I think that that's very important. But what I want you to touch on now, what I'm seeing is more important, is just grace itself. Why is it important to activate or even be conscious or aware of what grace is? You told us what grace is. It's grace is favor and power. Look, I need you all to take out the notebook and to take notes on what I'm telling you all, because these spiritual principles that we have applied with hundreds and hundreds of businesses have shifted us and taken us to the next level. Is now that we know that grace is favor and power, so why is it important that we have favor and power in the business world?
Well, you know what? God wants credit. And when grace is on it, it produces something that just mere intellect cannot produce on its own. I know people come to you and say, there's something different about kingdom over culture. There's something different about all the things your hands are touching. And you know, what do you do? That's mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. So when we are able to get results, everybody else supernatural. Can get super on our natural, mm. supernatural results,
yeah.
then we can deflect the glory back to God.
Oh, hallelujah.
So that's why we have to have it in business, because mm. when people ow. Say, Sarah, how is it that hard. You did this? How is it that mm. you did that? No, God gets the glory. How is it that you, people inbox me, how do you get all these speaking engagements? Because that's still part of business. It's kingdom business. How do you get all these clients? I see that you got a celebrity cover here and you got mm. a, you know, this artist here and whoever. To God be the glory.
Because in the Bible says that no man shall glory right. in his presence, right. right? God is not a respecter of men. So he doesn't care about Tom, John, or whoever. The biggest thing is that he gets the glory, right?
Yeah.
So the importance of grace is that when we're able to apply, hallelujah, come yes. on, thank you, God. When we're able to apply grace in our business, that means we're having favor that we couldn't yeah. have done, right? And there's power that activates that he gets the acknowledgement. That's why it's important. So we can't, yeah. you can't have supernatural results thinking that it's you. You the one who done it.
Facts.
You got your degrees and you didn't. Oh my goodness, we need more grace. Mm. Okay, so that definitely answers the question. And man, I'm so thankful that you're here. I know I said that already,
it's
but
it's an honor to be here.
How man, yeah, yeah. This the big bang, man. We coming.
Boom, where the button?
Yeah,
at?
Man, we coming. Look, Alex, I need a button. Alex, help me out. Andrew, where is the button? But I want to talk about the role of grace in our day-to-day life. Like, mm-hmm. how are you seeing grace just as coming to the studio right now today? And just like, how are you incorporating your grace, right? I think that everyone has full access to the grace, right?
Right, yeah.
But how do we access it? But, well, you said surrendering, but how can mm-hmm. we incorporate that in a day-to-day life?
Well, first of all, when you live long enough without it and then you experience it, you know you don't just want it. You need it. Mm. And one thing I know, too, is you will go through seasons in life that will remind you that you need it if you fall off. So everyday life, to me, number one is faith. You got to believe that grace is available.
Right.
And then dependence would be the other word. Surrender is very similar to dependence. Surrender is you're willing. Dependence is you know you can't do it without him. So I try to approach every day, God, it's by your grace only. I depend on you. I rely on you. Not only do I depend and rely on you for power to function, but for direction. Where am I supposed to go? Who should I connect with? How should I operate? And so grace can guide. Yeah. Grace can do all those things. So the way you have it in your everyday life is you have faith, you acknowledge that you need it, and you depend on it more than you depend on yourself. And when you really depend on God like that, it activates that grace. He's like, oh, I got you. Sit back, Sarah Grace. I got this interview. Just open your mouth and I'll show up for you. Depend on him. You could stop right now. And somebody could be watching and they could be just going through a challenge, toiling, frustrated, and just feeling like I can't get my business to work. I can't get my family right. My marriage is messed up. Just stop depending on yourself and lean into, like, I have a throwback video on my YouTube channel and I talk about riding for God instead of driving. Let right. God have the driver's seat. Depend on him right. and he will start to give you the wisdom, the guidance and the power to take everything, your personal, your professional, your spiritual life in a different direction.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. We give you the glory you, right now. I feel the presence.
Yes,
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We praise you, God. We love you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. So now you kind of touched on it, but I really want to go into a little more detail about the relationship of faith and grace. Because they're different, but you talked about utilizing both, right? Mm-hmm. So how do they correlate with each other?
Mm-hmm. Well, faith comes by hearing, according to scripture.
Yeah.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God.
Right.
So one thing that I have made a very important focus of my speaking is to teach people how to use their faith. I actually have a book called Faith for the Hard Things.
Right.
And that faith is when you can really embrace how it's supposed to be applied according to the word of God. What is faith really meant for?
Right.
And a lot of people think that faith is meant for their personal will, their personal agenda, what I want, think, and feel. Mm-hmm. But faith is meant for the will of God.
Right.
So you have to understand how faith is intended to be used. Now, the will of God is good. God's will for us is good. He gives good. The Bible says that he gets good pleasure from giving us the kingdom. He delights in the prosperity of his people. When you really learn what he says, you don't have to push out of your own soul to use your faith to get this particular car, this particular house. You just know. No, if I seek after God, God has already placed within my purpose every good and perfect gift he has for me. So faith is dependence. I depend on you. Matthew chapter 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added. We never have to pray for things. We're supposed to pursue kingdom.
And those things follow.
Right. And they're just in the way. Like, oh, I was just trying to pray today. Right. And boom, somebody dropped me an opportunity. A door just opened. And so faith for the right things, faith for scriptural things, faith for the will of God is where grace is applied. Some people will try to take faith and use it for their own. The Bible says where self-seeking is every evil practice. And if you really dig into Satanism, their mantra is do what thou wilt. So in other words, do you, boo? Isn't that a cute thing that we like to say in 2023? Do you? That's not scripture. According to scripture, we do God. We do his will. Now, I've said it. I'm not throwing shade, judging nobody, but we need to come back to a place where we say, God, what do you want me to use grace for? And he will place you in a position where your faith, oh, let me say this too, the greatest act of faith is surrender. The absolute greatest act of faith ain't moving mountains and walking on water. It's surrender, because Abraham laid down his only son that came after a long awaited promise. And then God said to Abraham, now I know your faith is perfect. So surrender. We can't get away from it. Surrender. So have faith in God, his word, learn his word. And then you know where you can say, God, I need some grace to do your will. Drops the mic, hits the button.
Man, right now, just even here, just the presence. I'm just filled with the Spirit. And I'm so thankful that you came here today. And that's exactly what you need. That's exactly how you go to the next level. And every day I'm so mind blown by just the presence of God, just being in God's presence and knowing that he has his hand on me and everything that we've been doing. And if I didn't do anything else, I know for a fact that when people watch this, they're gonna be super lit.
Hallelujah.
But I want to go into a little bit about how grace can empower us to be resilient during tough times.
Oh, God. You might have to snatch the mic back. Because that book, Faith for the Hard Things, that was birthed out of some tough times in my life. And I would say, God, if I'm really a woman of God and I'm out here preaching and I'm doing everything in my power to help other people, there were certain areas of my life I felt like I wasn't getting victory in. And I said, so what's wrong with me? You know, am I doing something wrong? Is there something I'm not understanding? And God began to share the revelation with me that not that we should look for negativity, not that we should expect negativity, but when you get in a situation like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Hebrew boys that were displaced from their people and their culture and thrown into a fiery furnace for refusing to worship a false god, refusing to worship a king, Jesus showed up in that fire. And he said, Sarah, I've learned to hear his voice now. So he talks to me clearly now. And he said, Sarah, faith doesn't always keep you from adversity, but it will always keep you through adversity. I said, my God. He said, your faith is not proven by what you don't have to face. It's the fact that, honey, you're still standing after things that have taken other people out. Didn't people have went through all these different challenges? We don't even need to name them, but they're in my books. You can read them, find out all about them. But a lot of the things that I have went through, I've seen other people quit ministry, quit business, take their lives. But I learned to embrace the faith that got me through, because I knew if God allowed me to go through it, he's going to get glory out of it. Because those three Hebrew boys, they came out of the fire and they didn't even smell like smoke. I can tell you today, people meet me and their jaws literally drop when they hear some of my testimony. I've seen mouths open and people go, what? Because I don't look like what I've been through. Faith brought me through things that actually ended up working for my good, because I learned to trust and depend and surrender even more. And so grace is activated in those places where you feel like it could kill you. If God doesn't show up, sometimes he allows you to be in that place where you're kind of pigeon held or backed in a corner to just say, God, I can't do nothing else. And he goes, ha, All right, watch what I'm about to do through you. And there are moments where I have looked at maybe a child laid out in my arms, didn't know if one of my children was going to open their eyes up again. And I thought that I had come to the end of the end of the end of myself. But I knew to depend on God, and God put life in my mouth to prophesy to his body, or in other words, speak life to his body. And I looked at my child limp in my arms and said, I command you to live in the name of Jesus Christ. And I saw him. That's grace. Never get in a place where it's so dark you don't believe God can pierce that light. Matter of fact, I believe it's Psalm 139 that says, darkness and light are the same to God. You might be blind as a bat to your situation. You can't see your way out of that diagnosis. I feel God in this place. You can't see your way out of that financial crisis. You can't see your way out of that relational hangup. And God says, I can see through the darkest parts of your life, and I can bring grace to get you through of it, out of it. And then if we really lean into God, we won't never go through that again.
Yeah, I think that the important thing about gracing our way to success is the quickest, I'm going to say the quickest I'm able to surrender.
Yeah.
And just every week, you notice every day, I'm like, all right, God, what's up? I think that when we develop that state of being and we live in that realm, that paradigm, right?
Yeah.
That's where we can really get supernatural results, because it's like, okay, you can be in a difficult situation, right? But if you can shift to where your habitual pattern or behavior is surrendering, and now instead of me wanting to get my light bill paid, I'm really like, all right, God, let's run a milli up, like, right, you know, for your glory. Look, let's where the signs and the wonders at, right?
Right.
So I think that that's super important. And how do we apply grace and leadership? Let's say me, even myself, I got a team, right? I got people that I work with. How can I apply grace as being a leader to get the best results?
That's a wonderful question too. And one of my favorite words in the last couple of years is embody. Mm. You know, when we talk about embodying something, we become something. So if we want to be great leaders, then we need the grace of God on our lives to be like Jesus. He was the greatest leader. He was a strong leader. He was a sharp leader. He knew how to do super and natural. If you really read through the New Testament, you see Jesus really dealing with everyday life situations and circumstances. Mm. So I believe the best way to be a great leader in your personal life, your professional life, or maybe you're a spiritual leader in your community, is to embody Christ, to get his wisdom. Jesus was God in a body, and all wisdom comes from God. You know, Solomon, he became a leader of his people, and he knew the principle of surrender, because he went up to a mountain and he sacrificed 1,000 rams. He sacrificed to the point, and that was an act of worship for the people of that time. He sacrificed to the point that God said, what can I do for you? And he said that you would give me wisdom. And the Bible says that Solomon was the wisest and richest man ever to have been recorded in history. And he asked God for wisdom. So embodying Christ, Christ taught us how to surrender to the Father. Even in the model prayer we find in the Bible, he said that we are supposed to first identify our relationship with God as our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you're a leader, you should be seeking to bring God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. Break that word kingdom down. The king's dominion, rulership over you. Matter of fact, listen, you can only be in as much authority as you're under. So I believe that. Yeah, I felt that. I believe that when you surrender again, do you know the Bible calls it repentance? But we'll get into that another time. Surrender to God, even as a leader. And so you know what? The King David, he was picked out of all of his brothers, didn't look like a leader. He smelled like sheep. He was out in the pasture, but there was something about his heart. Even in King David's message, listen, you want some juicy stuff? Go read the Bible, read about the King David. You got all kind of soap opera content, you know, all that in there. And he went through some things. He made some poor decisions, but the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart because he sought God to be his leader so he could lead others. So that's all grace, because Jesus is the embodiment of grace. And then when we receive Jesus in our heart, hearts, then we receive the embodiment of grace in us. And when we become like Jesus, we surrender to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we make him the CEO of our business. When we make him the head of our household, when we make him the governing force of our lives, we can't help but be great leaders to others. Because even like Paul said, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And Christ was the example of surrender to God.
Yeah. And I think another thing that's super important is, as we're following God, I'm not following you because you can lift, you can bench press 350, right? I'm not following you because you drive the best cars. I'm not. And so I'm talking from a leader aspect with you being right. a boss or CEO for people who may have a company or some sort of business where they're really needing to grow their business to the next level, right? It's cool to have all these things. I'm following you because of the fruit that's coming, you know, that's manifesting, right? The fruit that's coming forth, and not necessarily the fruit that is tangible. I'm following you if you're patient, if you're kind, if you're loving, you know, goodness. Do you have self-control? Like, I'm looking at how you respond to different scenarios and circumstances in your life, right? So I think that even tapping into this power of grace, you know, this transformative grace, right? And why is it transformative grace?
Now, that's one of my favorite topics again, too, because as we talked about earlier, God doesn't just save you from, he saves you for. So God doesn't just want people to say, oh, you know, God saved me. I was this, that, and whatever. I was a wretch undone, you know, whatever religious little sayings we like to use. He wants us to be able to say, God snatched me out of darkness. And the scriptures say, to take me into the light. So when you are transformed, you become an ambassador of grace, a representative of grace. And that change in your life is really shown. See, the scriptures make it so clear in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we are to be transformed glory to glory,
right,
into the image of Christ. Yeah. So we are supposed to be like him. Mm-hmm. And when people can see that fruit that you're talking about developed in us, they say, well, I knew her before. I knew him before. I don't remember them being that way or this way. Mm-hmm. And when they see that transformative grace, it's more proof. Come on, like when you're looking at a late night infomercial. Mm-hmm. And they want to sell you something. They'll show you like, oh, look at, did you get coffee on your carpet? Look at this terrible stain. Right, and then put the little whatever they made, you know, their little device or their concoction that's going to get that thing out of the carpet. And then they sell it to you based on the results.
Right.
So transformative grace brings visible, tangible, experienceable results in your life point the glory back to God. And God does it in a way that they know your education didn't do it. They know it wasn't mama and them that taught you that.
Right.
They know, they see that it's still like, I know that face is the familiar
that
face.
It wasn't man.
But that countenance is not what I remember. So if we're not transformed, how do we prove God's existence? Mm. The Bible even talks about Jesus being the firstborn from the dead. Now that's some deep theological stuff right there. Mm. But he was the beginning of a new kind of person, a person that lived in the divine and the natural. Oh, the other day I was driving home and, you know, I travel a lot and I like to meditate on God and, you know, the mountains and wherever I'm at. And the Lord just started speaking to me about how we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This is scripture that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And it was like he was speaking to me in a way where he was like, you don't even really understand yet that as Jesus was fully God and fully man, as are you. And I was like, wait a minute, what?
Say, slow it down and say that one more time. Tell it to the viewers.
I want to run though.
Tell it to the viewers. What did you just say?
So as God was speaking to me, and he said, as I was fully man and fully God in the earth, as are you. We become, somebody may say that's blasphemy. No, it is not.
No, that's Psalms, 82:6. Ye are gods, ye are children of the Most High.
And you know what? The New Testament validates that. Mm. Because first of all, how are you going to be a son of God or a daughter of God and not be of the substance
of God?
Be God.
Right.
Listen, my children, they look like me. You know, they embody parts of me. We embody God. As Jesus was a physical human being, a glove for the Spirit of God, when we have Christ on the inside, we are that same thing. Now, here's the difference between the risen Savior and us while we're in our grace process, is that we still do have the human nature, but we also have the spiritual nature on the inside of us. So what we have to do is learn how to look at them both like fires. Throw logs on that spiritual fire, you're going to see more of Jesus. Throw logs on that fleshly fire, you're going to see more like that human side of you. They coexist. That's why Paul said, oh, this body of death, who will deliver me? Just because God came into your body, he didn't take your body out of the picture.
Yeah.
So this is where we have to learn to walk in the divine. We have to, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, now this is another man in another garden, because since we can get deep here, on the Big Bang, when you go to Genesis, there's another man in the garden. His name is Adam. So Adam was in the garden. Let's look at two parallels here. Adam was in the garden in the book of Genesis. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to going to the cross. Two men, two gardens. Adam, through Eve, was tempted to deny God's authority in his life and partake of something he wanted. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane asking God if the cup of suffering, which was a metaphor for the cross, could pass. Jesus wanted to get out of the cross. He wanted to get out of the crucifixion. Adam forfeited God's rulership in his life and went after his own will. Jesus cried out to God three times. And when God didn't respond, he said, nevertheless, not my will. In other words, my desire, but your will be done.
None of that do you, boo.
No do you, boo. Adam, the Bible says we all died in Adam. But in Christ, which the Bible calls the second Adam, we all were made alive. And it was that willingness to surrender your own will to God and let God embody. He defeated the flesh. He defeated his personal will. Yeah. He defeated his desire. So if we want to be like God, like Psalm says we are, and like the New Testament says that we are sons of God, we are children of God, then we have to learn how to let the divine take authority over the human.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So how do we overcome limiting beliefs? Like, how can we apply grace to get out of that fearful state, no matter what it is? My business is slow. I don't have no people coming in. Don't have no money like that. My thoughts are all negative. How can we apply grace in that situation to overcome that?
That's a good question. You know, the scriptures say the carnal mind is death. The spiritual mind is life and peace. So the carnal mind points to that human side. Spiritual mind points to the God side, the divine side. So if you are succumbing to your own natural thought processes, then whatever you're applying that to brings death. If that's your business, your relationships, your life. So you will start to embody what you think. The scripture said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the first thing you have to change, if you want to see the outside of you, the perimeter of you, the relationships in your life, your work, your business, your creativity change, you got to first change what you're thinking. But even to change what you're thinking, where are you getting those thoughts from? What are you listening to? Who are you talking to? Who are you putting your faith in? So if you turn on the news and you sit there all day and let them predict to you what you're going to make this week and what the stocks look like and this, that, and whatever, then you're going to think that, you're going to speak that, and you're going to live that. But if you open up that Bible, get it on your app, watch it on the podcast, you know, get this word in your heart.
Watch it where?
Right here on a Big Bang, baby. Watch it every day. Tell your friends. So every day. So you have to get to a point where you not only listen to it, but the scriptures say meditate on it.
Day and night.
Day and night. You will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That means an unlimited well of resources, whose leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he does shall prosper. Psalm chapter 1. So we have to get into a place where we recognize that what we hear, what we think, what we speak is going to create
alignment.
The results, alignment. Even the world, how was it created? People say Jesus or God created the world in his hands. No, he didn't. He spoke and the world became.
He did what?
Let there be. You better start opening up your mouth and say, let there be success.
Where you at right now? It's the what?
Listen, let there be in your mouth, Genesis. Mm. We have to speak it. Mm. And even I'll say this and I'll pass the mic back. I'm in school for psychology.
Right.
I have this newfound excitement about psychology and understanding the human mind. God said, learn psychology, marry it to theology. In other words, take the study of the natural man and then connect it with the spiritual man. So they have something called cognitive behavioral therapy. Mm. I was teaching this by way of the spirit. Didn't even know what it was until someone said, you know, you're teaching cognitive behavioral therapy. This was 10 years ago before I even thought about a college degree in psychology. And I dug into it and found out that the world tapped into, I'm going to use one of your words, into the technology of heaven, that if we want to change our lives, we must change our minds. So cognitive behavioral therapy is going back to the source of your thoughts. And that is what you've learned or experienced. Dang. Changing it into your renewing your mind. And they literally will give you worksheets. What do you think? Why do you think that? So, okay, I think I'm a failure because I went on the basketball court when I was five and someone pushed me down and everybody laughed. So the rest of my life, I embody being a failure. So let's go back to that thought. Picture yourself getting up, make a decision. You're going to walk from that place. Don't allow a moment in your life to become a monument, because a lot of people get stuck and stagnated in their success because they let a defining moment come from something that was supposed to be a very short-lived experience, and it changed their whole view of themselves. You're not your experiences, honey. You're just taught by them.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, we super lit, man. Transformative grace. How to grace your way into success. Definitely surrender. You have to surrender. And this has been a great experience. It's opened my mind and enlightened me in ways that I'm super thankful for. What I want you to do right now is, you know, this is the Big Bang. We know that there's power in our words. So if we can leave the viewers with anything, if it's one thing that we can tell them that they could put in their tool bag and utilize for the rest of their journey on this plane, what would it be?
You know, those words, the Big Bang, they did something to my spirit, because today can be your Big Bang moment where you make a decision. I'm going to invite God to be the governor and ruler of my life, to come into my personal life, to come into my relationships, to come into my business, to come into every aspect of my life. And I'm going to ask him to awaken all of him in everything that I touch and everything that I do. You've been stuck. You've been stagnant. Maybe you are a millionaire and you got so far, but God gave you a vision to be a billionaire and you're stuck. Maybe you're a single parent and you're feeling like, well, because of this, I'm labeled this way. I'll never be successful. Your Big Bang moment can come right now when you make a decision to surrender fully and to embrace the grace God has given you. Somebody might even be saying, but Sarah Grace, you don't know what my life looks like. I just got out of prison, or I've made too many mistakes, or I'm dealing with depression. There is nothing, no circumstance, no experience, no background, no family line, no bad name that God can't take and turn it around, transform it, and make it into something that will give him glory. The harder your case is, the more God gets glory. Let God be the Big Bang in your life today by inviting him in and giving him everything. And it will change you for now and forever.
Okay, that's Dr. Sarah Grace. Hopefully you all enjoyed today's episode. We were super lit. Look, I'm telling you, the energy is crazy right now on set. Make sure you all tune in every Sunday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're coming with some sort of jewel to help you unlock different principles in your spirit. Thank you all so much. I want to give a huge shout out one more time to our sponsors at Got Success. Make sure you check out gotsuccessstore.com for everything success. Peace. Shalom. You all have a blessed day. I'll see you next week. Peace.